Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
There's a cat over here. There's a cat over there. And the wrong one died. And the wrong one died.
Welcome to The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the catastrophe. I'm your host, Mike Abrams, and today we have another amazing guest. I cannot express how excited I am to finally be talking to someone who got to perform as the street cat version of the Rum Tum Tugger. So you might have seen him more recently in Hamilton on the West End, but he's here today to talk about the 2015-2016 Australian Tour of Cats, where he got to play what I've been calling Street Tugger. So welcome, Daniel Aceta, and thank you for joining me.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I just told you this before we started recording, but you are legitimately the image that I have memed 1,000 times because of Street Tugger, because it's the first thing that shows up on Google image searches. So I am thrilled to have you because I have so many questions about the backstory, the character, the dance. I got to see some versions on YouTube of what the dance, and there's like break dancing. There's so much to it, but it's also something that lived for such a short period of time that it's kind of a fascinating piece of Cats history that I don't think a lot of people even know about, honestly.
Yeah. No, they actually don't. I've come across quite a few people in the States that obviously were not aware of that particular change that sort of occurred in that little bit of time. So like when I explain it, people are like, what?
Yeah, I've had the same reaction. I've explained it to some people, and I just say Street Tugger, which I don't actually think is what everybody calls it. It's this Tugger Street Cat version, and I've just nicknamed it Street Tugger, and everyone's like, wait, what? There's a Street Tugger? You know, like, what does that mean? I'm like, yeah, he's raps and dances, hip-hop. It's like a different version, and they're like, wait, really? You know, like, nobody believes you at first.
I know. I mean, like, I don't think that I believed it at first either, to be honest. Like, when I first auditioned for the show, I didn't audition as the Rum Tum Tugger. It was because I was just finishing on the big Australian tour of Wicked, which was my first job out of studying. And Cats was never really a show that was on my radar. Like as a child, I never saw it. It never really was one of those shows that I was like, I have to do Cats. Mm-hmm. And an audition came up. And I had asked some people who had done the show previously in Australia if they thought that, you know, it would be appropriate for me to go in. And they were like, it's very technical. And I was like, oh, I don't know if that's like my game. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go because like the music is great. And like, you know, there's a whole bunch of different characters that I might be able to slot into. I flew down because I was obviously doing Wicked at the time. I did all the auditions in one day on my one day off.
Wow.
And basically they put me through my paces and I auditioned for every character essentially. And so I left there thinking that I was going to be a swing because I was a swing on Wicked. I was an onstage swing. So I thought, well, I literally have done Munkerstrap. I've done Coricapat, I did Mungo Jerry, I did Skimbleshanks, and then on top of all of that, they were like, can you hip hop? And I was like, what do you mean by can I hip hop? Because this is like, you know, a Cats creative team in Australia who have done the show for years and years and years and years, and they don't really know what the specification of this new London Palladium Tugger requires. And so They've basically been given instruction to test if people have hip hop skills alongside basically doing a verse of the Rum Tum Tugger rap. So obviously this is material that like prior to this moment, no one really has seen.
Yeah. So
it was a very unusual audition process because, you know, it was like, they told me to come in and they were like, now, this is the phrase. And I was like, cool. And they were like, it's on 4/4. So they were just like, it doesn't matter. how you do it, but this is kind of a rough idea of the rhythm. And so I was like, okay, I gave it a go. I'd never rapped before. And then they brought me next door, and basically like the associate director of Cats in Australia, Joanne Robinson, she was like, I'm going to stomp out a beat and I want you to improvise like any hip hop skills that you want. And I was like, what is going on right now?
That is, so it's so fascinating to hear this, because I go back to, I mean, if anybody follows you on TikTok or knows your social media, like, you grew up dancing and there's a bunch of stuff with you and your sister. Is this the first time you've been asked, like, how many times is hip hop and, like, I don't know besides, I mean, I guess in Hamilton there's some, like, rapping, but, like, it's not like it's a common thing in musical theater to have a, can you come in and break dance and can you come in and start rapping? Yeah. And especially when you're coming in for Cats. Like, did that stop you dead in your tracks, or did you even know that that was going to be a change being made?
Like, there was a bit of a buzz from just performers within the Australian industry being like, wait, it's not the same Rum Tum Tugger as before. But I don't really class myself as a rapper, so I disregarded it. And I was like, well, that's not going to be me. Yeah. Like, I was just like, well, that's not my place in the show. But I will say my training growing up in dance was very commercial and very hip hop. The dance school that I trained at from age 3 all the way through to 18 in Sydney was called the Glendie School of Dance. And basically we had a lot of, Sydney is very well known for its dance scene being very much like very similar in style to the LA scene. So like a lot more commercial and hip hop sort of influence. And so I had a lot of that growing up, and it was a weekly thing for me. So, you know, that style, not break dancing per se, but I had done a couple of little tricks that, like, you know, have appeared in a hip hop routine that I had done growing up that I kind of just accumulated with me as party tricks. Yeah. And I basically threw them all on the floor the minute that they asked me to improvise, because I was like, well, this is what I've got, so let's just see.
What about the rapping part? Like, if that's not something that you've done in, you know, as someone, as a dancer, but also a singer, to come in and all of a sudden be like, hey, can you spit some bars in the middle of a Cats audition, just, it's still like, it blows my mind that, like, I can't
in a
even
in a Cats audition where I was in like tights, because like that's what you wear to a Cats audition, you know what I mean? So, like, so all of a sudden I was like, can I swap out my tights for my tracksuit pants and sneakers if I'm about to try and do this?
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about the audition process as well. And then I want to go back a little bit, because you said you hadn't ever seen it. But what was that going from, you know, you said you covered Monkish Trap and all these other Cats. What is in the audition process going from a very serious, I would say, you know, Cats is very traditional dance and singing to all of a sudden freestyle your party hip hop party tricks? Like, is... like, what is that experience like for you?
I mean, it was, I still say to this day, it was one of the craziest days, like, of auditioning. Purely because, as mentioned, Cats was never really a show that I knew. Like, as in, like, I had heard some of the music, but, like, I hadn't listened to it religiously. I didn't know it off by heart. So, you know, when you have to audition all in one day, like they were like, can you come back in 2 hours and do Mungo Jerry and Rumble Teaser and Skimble Shanks? I mean, like, the rhythms of those songs, I was like in a cafe downstairs, like trying to learn these songs that I hadn't really heard before, because I just had never really like listened to them in depth. And so it was one of those examples of like, this is a crazy audition day that, like, you know, that you hear. And it really was. And I was the last person there on that day. I think I left at like 6 p.m. after getting there at 8 a.m.
Wow.
And I was like so exhausted, and then flew back to Brisbane. And I was like, what just happened? Yeah. Like, I have no idea. I called my agent and I was like, I actually have no idea like what happened today. I was like, I basically did everything in the show, so I hope there's a place for me.
That is so cool. So you knew a little bit of the music because everyone kind of knows the music. Had you seen like the 1998 yeah. movie or any version of it prior to that audition?
I watched the movie when I found out that I was going to be going for the audition.
Okay.
Just to familiarize myself with it and, you know, just general research and stuff so that I wasn't going in blind.
Yes.
But yeah, apart from that, that was my only knowledge of Cats.
Wow.
Yep.
That is, okay, so that is kind of fascinating that it's like, hey, just one quick research of the 1998 film that you've got to kind of go off of, and you come in, and then you come in, and all of a sudden it's like, by the way, we need you to start rapping and like hip hop dancing. Did that even like, did it register that I was like, oh, okay, wait, hold on. This is going to be vastly different than the version I just saw on that movie.
Well, yeah, especially when like it was very clear that the team had a lot of unknown with this new version as well, because obviously it was very recent in London, like very recent. And what I found out later in the process, once I actually booked the show and started rehearsing, was it was an ever-changing thing. So basically it morphed. Even in the small amount of time that the Street Tugger existed, it changed over that period of time. So it originally started when Andrew Lloyd Webber actually came across a street dancer who was on the street, like busking in London.
Okay, wow.
And he had never done a show before, very new to musical theater.
So and he sees this person and throws him in Cats on the London Palladium?
Essentially. he saw this guy and knew that this was what the show needed, obviously. And so like this particular actor and street dancer helped Andrew Lloyd Webber write the rap verses.
Okay. I am so fascinated by this because it only ran for like 3 years. It ran for the London run, your tour, and then not there. And I can see, these are not questions for you, I guess. These are Andrew Webber questions at the end of the day. I can see a need for throwing in some hip hop and some contemporary style like street dance. And like they even kind of did that in the 2019 movie with the twins. They put in some like of that stuff.
Yeah.
What I've struggled with is, why do you take one of the, what I would say, iconic characters and a fairly like early on recognizable song and not make it like Alonzo or, you know, like one of the like Tumble Brutus or one of the other ones where you could throw in those elements and not like, this was a change. Like this was a dramatic change to a big character.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 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 So it's really just funny thinking about it all now. When I found out that I got the show, my agent called me and he was like, you got the role. And I was like, wait a minute. I was like, I'm going to be the first person in Australia to do this hip hop rap cat. Like, I was like, cool. Okay. Like, obviously it was so exciting for me because it was the first role that I've ever played. So it will always be a really special thing to me. And in Australia, we don't really get to put there's not a lot of new work that comes through in terms of like on main stage. Like we get a lot of imported shows from the UK or from Broadway because they work.
Yeah.
And now this was the first time in Australia that this role was kind of being discovered. And from conversation that I had with the associate director and choreographer and the team, they kind of wanted to help me put my own stamp on it, which was really exciting because for an actor, there's nothing more than, you know, that excites them being creative and getting creative license over something that you get to do
Yeah.
And so I actually did a trip to the UK before we started our contract, and I saw the revival version of Cats at Blackpool. And that was a big trip. I literally went specifically to Blackpool to watch the show. I went to London and did, like, you know, a wonderful couple of days there. And I went up to Edinburgh. But I made a specific trip out to Blackpool to see the show.
That is crazy.
You know, it was so special. Like, I can't even explain it to you. Because I had never seen the show before live, and now I knew I was going to be part of it. It was so emotional. Like, hearing that overture, I was like, I am so excited to do this.
Yeah. And it's, and, you know, everyone that I talk to who does it always talks about how it changes you. It's like you become part of the Cats, like, family.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I met my husband on Cats and now we're married.
Yeah. What, your husband, was he Mistopheles?
No, he was Carbuckety.
Okay. There's a lot of Tugger Mistopheles history, and we've always wondered. I've heard there's a few that have come together, because that's always like a fun, it's all the fans talk about. Okay, so I want to go back to, you book it, you go see it, you're now going to be essentially, like, not originating the role, but, like, really putting your version of it on, because it's still so new. What did they kind of tell you about this transformation for Tugger? Like, did you get a different backstory? Mm-hmm. Like, was there a little bit more? Because, like, I always think about the characters and how you have to kind of embrace them. And Tugger's supposed to be this, like, I don't care about the world, I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to cause disruption. And that's how it's played, as the rock star vibe. And then you kind of come in and it's like, similar vibe, but you're going to do a hip hop version of it. Like, were you told kind mm-hmm. of like a different three words or a different backstory based on it being now the street Tugger?
Yeah, like, they definitely wanted to keep a very similar vibe to the character, in terms of he's rebellious, does his own thing, still has that air to him where it's, you know, kind of like, does what he wants, gets what he wants. But they brought the age of the actual Cat down a little bit, so he was more of like a, I guess more of like an adolescent Cat mm-hmm. that was kind of like experiencing like the anticipation of being an adult. And so they basically, like, we obviously, the original Rum Tum Tugger was compared to, you know, Mick Jagger and stuff mm-hmm. quite a lot. And so we tried to find some parallels to the current music industry at the time. And so I kind of basically, like, tried to find artists that I could draw inspiration from that felt like an R&B kind of rapping Cat that was, like, you know, this new kind of very, like, very energized. And so, like, I drew inspiration from, like, certain film clips and stuff like that, because, like, my associate director and choreographer Joanne, she, you know, was not from the world of contemporary music and R&B and hip hop. And so I was kind of educating her and sending her clips on, like, you know, because basically, just like the original, the actual Rum Tum Tugger number is like a party scene, mm-hmm. you know? And so at the time, the first film clip that kind of came to my mind was Chris Brown's Yeah Times 3 film clip.
Okay.
Because it was like he was on the buildings, he's on the big trucks, and everyone's kind of dancing, and it's very much that kind of, like, jumping off things, and I was like, this is kind of the vibe. And obviously that was tied in with, like, a Justin Bieber-y kind of thing as well, because he was so idolized by teenagers. And so that's kind of where I drew some of that kind of pop star, R&B star kind of inspiration from, so that I could bring that youthful kind of energy to the stage. Still like a music star, an artist, but just not a rock and roll one.
Yeah. Did you pull from anything from Jason Derulo? Because I just think there's some, like, weird symmetry with it coming back to him being Tugger in the 2019 movie, and then knowing that there was a street version around when he was really big.
I know. Yeah. Like, It's really interesting because when I first heard the rumors of Jason Derulo doing it, I was like, wait a minute, are they doing my version? Yeah,
yeah. That is, yeah.
And like, I think what they like basically did in the movie was kind of just like have someone who is of that sort of, you know, R&B pop background, but just keep the essence of the original. So like, it was like a mesh between the two without changing the song, mm-hmm. which like, you know, I will never say that I don't think that it should have been done with the rap, but it definitely was a huge surprise. And I had to face a lot of people along the way that disagreed with the change.
Yeah, that was actually gonna be one of my next questions for you. So I wanna think about, this is a show that at that moment has been running for 25, 30 years almost. Like it's, you know, it's not like it's still kind of early on. Like it's got its fan base. And so when you're touring and it's a show that, you know, people know, how much backlash did you get of like where audience members came up, and did you have more people saying like, oh, that was really cool, I love the interpretation? Or did you have more that were like, wait a second, where's my, I was waiting for the Mick Jagger, David Bowie, like the person there ready for you to come out? And I mean, I guess you still kind of crotch thrust and do a lot of the like really overly sexual dances.
Oh yeah.
So it's still got a little similar vibe, but did you like, what was the audience reaction in the moment?
You know, like I said, I basically came into the role with a knowledge of all of the negative reviews from London. So, you know, that's where I started. Okay. I started with like basically everyone criticizing this new thing, and update. And so I was like, okay, that's kind of what I've got. Now I have the power here to also reinterpret this, because basically Andrew Lloyd Webber and the team in London were kind of a bit stuck and a bit lost with this role over its time. Mostly because the original guy who they hired to play the street tugger, he didn't continue with the show. Mm-hmm. So basically, I think, you know, it takes a certain type of person to do 8 shows a week, and someone who is not trained for that and it might be new to them, I don't think it gelled with him. So there was a bit of a cast shift around in the London Palladium version. And when I saw the show in Blackpool, I actually watched the Alonzo, who had recently stepped up to fill Tugger.
Okay.
And so basically he was a jazz dancer. So his version of the number was very different. And I was like, okay, that's that version. And so when I was in Australia and we started learning the number, I was like, is there any way that I can put my own style and flair onto it so that it felt like it was more me and I wasn't pretending to be something that I wasn't? And I was like, let's make it cool. Let's make it like, let's show off some of my tricks. And the team were very open to that. And it all had to get approved by Andrew Lloyd Webber. And I thought I was going to lose my job in a weekend. Yeah. But he loved what I was doing with the number. And so I basically choreographed my own dance break in the number. And the number ended up being something that I was really, really proud of. And I think that because I had control over the number like that, it meant that I was able to bring my own personal energy and the way that I wanted to do it to the character. So a lot of people were skeptical of the street tugger, but I think that I managed to persuade them through sort of just my energy and the way that I wanted to convey the character that it did work. Mm-hmm. Because I think there was issues with it, and we kind of broke it down and tried our best to present it in a way that looked its best.
Yeah. So I think there's, anytime you have change, like there's always going to be question, especially if it's something that, you know, people universally love. It's like, that's the something I know and I come to see, and then you get a very different version of it. You're going to have some people kind of not always on board. I want to go back to something you said though, which I hadn't really thought about, or maybe I'm as someone who's not an actor or not a performer, I don't think about these things. But do you, like, when you hear that it's almost all negative reviews and then you're going to take on the role, do you, like, does that, how do you think about that as an actor? Like, since this was your first kind of main role, do you say, oh, you know what, whatever, this is awesome, I'll make it my own and I'm going to do my own thing? Or do you ever kind of go back and be like, maybe this isn't, like, everyone's already ripping on this character and now I'm going to go do it. Maybe I should rethink if I want this part. Like, how do you think about that as a performer?
Yeah, I mean, I think at that point in my career, I literally was like 20, almost turning 21.
So you're just like, it's a job, I'm ready.
I mean, well, I was just so excited because, like, I love a challenge personally. Mm-hmm. And I just saw it as an opportunity for me to create something. And so, like, I was a little bit stressed, I won't lie, because it was so foreign and so new to not only my skill set on stage, but also because there was a lot of people talking about it. But, you know, I think once we opened in the first city, I got some reassurance that what I was doing was right. Because we kind of managed to deter the comments away from the actual subject matter, and more people were actually picking on my costume than they were on actually what I was doing.
I have some costume questions because it is it looks like you have some like MC Hammer pants, and then you've got dreadlocks, right? Like they added dreadlocks and a backwards hat, and it's a little 2022 looking back, maybe not as appropriate as I would have thought. There's a little bit of that revisionist history. And I think that's what's so interesting looking at it today. You know, we're recording this in 2022, you know, this will come out in 2023, but we're looking back, you know, that many years, and something that has also mm-hmm. been universally pretty much panned. You know, it's like, now that you look at it today, it's like, oh God, I can't believe they even did that for 3 or 4 years. But in the moment, it's got to be very different of like, here's this new take, we're going to try something new. It's a show that probably doesn't need, but has a little bit of like, it's been around for so long, let's try some different things. Or Andrew Weber has a coffee and sees a street dancer and decides, this is my show, I'm going to change it today, and doesn't care because he's got the ability to take whatever backlash he has and can take it. But when you're like, from a moment of today, when you look back on it, obviously you're proud of it. It's your, you know, a job that you got to do, a really cool thing that you got to do at the beginning. But if you look at it from the outside, looking back on it as like now, West End, Hamilton, you know, professional, you know, this is your job full time. What do you think of the street tugger in general? Like, do you look back at that and go like, that might've been a little problematic, that might've been an interesting change. Like, how do you look at it today?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it definitely is a little bit problematic.
Yeah.
You know, I think the thing at the time, which, you know, it's so hard because, like, you know, at the end of the day, they're cats. That's the other thing,
yeah.
You know, and that was something that came up a lot when we were actually doing it, because, like, you know, there was some comments made about the color of my makeup, mm-hmm. Which was like an ivory and brown. And like, you know, at the end of the day, like that makeup that I was putting on was to be a cat, not a person. So, you know, the pants in terms of the costume. So, you know, again, because Australia, we were kind of creating a little bit of our own design, even just slightly it tweaked, because in the version that I had watched, the guy playing Tugger was actually in white Nike Air Forces. And I actually was like, I'm not dancing in those, because like, I was like, for the show, I have to be able to do the ball and I have to be able to, I wanted flexibility in a shoe. And so we actually used black Nike Roches, which kind of are more similar to a jazz shoe than any other sneaker, because of the mesh and because of the bottom is quite flexible in terms of it sliding across the stage. And so then they painted the the Rum Tum Tugger sort of like spots on the shoes. They used a pair of my tracksuit pants as the design for the pants, because I was like, we don't need that much of a drop crotch.
Yes.
And they actually ended up kind of like sticking to me a little bit more. Like, they're a bit more tapered and, you know, just had like a nicer sort of shape to them. And then, you know, the hair, the fur, you know, whatever you want to call it. It was very interesting, the dreadlocks. I mean, that's probably a out of all of the things, one of the choices that I would have changed.
Mm-hmm.
But in saying that, the similar design of the Rum Tum Tugger hair that I had underneath that hat was very similar to elements of Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer, how they've had the sort of like twist kind of braidy stuff that they would have in their hair as well.
Yeah. And Tugger kind of has a big, you know, whole thing anyways too, like in the Rockstar version. So it actually doesn't stray that far. Besides, I think I saw an interview, you called it it's more contemporary. Like, it's just a more contemporary version.
Yeah.
And I think that it is kind of that way.
I hope you're having a jellicle ball. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
You said at the very top, like the very beginning of this episode, you said that it's kind of a fascinating thing because most people don't even realize that there was a Street Cat version. I have, as I've said, I've used your picture as memes for probably 3 years now since I started this. Does anybody ever recognize you?
I can't get over that. That's so funny.
Does anybody ever recognize you as like, it's like, oh, that's like, I saw you in Australia as a kid growing up and you were the rapping Street Cat, or like, you know, you have a big following on social media now. How often do people recognize this performance?
Yeah, you know, more than you would think, actually.
Yeah.
I think it's something to do with my smile. Like, there's a lot of people that are like, oh, like, I remember seeing you in Cats. And I'm like, how did you know that it was me? And a lot of people will say that it's because of my smile, because, like, obviously, you know, I was very cheeky in my sort of characterization of the Rum Tum. That was definitely one. That was actually one of my, sort of main traits that I wanted to put in. And back to a previous question, only because we talked about it. Well, I didn't actually talk about it. You did. My three adjectives were different the original Tugger. Except don't ask me what they were now.
Okay.
But they were slightly different. Yeah.
Okay. Did they give you a different backstory? Like, what did they tell you is like his Tugger's history?
Gosh, this is really going back now, and I'm trying to remember. It wasn't too different. You know, it definitely was around the same sort of thing of like, you know, he is this sort of like grew up on the street and like, you know, but idolized and, you know, also very sexually, you know, interested in basically everyone is what I was told.
Yes.
And so basically anything that moves. And so you know, I think I just drew on all those little things, plus the artist's influence of, like, you know, those more current contemporary artists. And then I put my own little, like, cheeky kind of rebellious flair on it as well. I mean, they were all, like, the little things that kind of formed what I ended up presenting, which I think was very different to how the guy presented it in the original London Palladium, and then there was the performer who did it in France as well.
Yeah, it is, again, it's such a strange thing to look back on, because I'm looking back on it as something who learned about it long after it ended. You know, like, I didn't even know about Cats really, like, well until pretty much 2019. I saw it in 2016, obviously knew it because everybody knows it. But, like, I never knew any of the history. I didn't know. I couldn't have named you the Rum Tug Tugger before 2016. So to look back on it now and see, like, hey, here's this 3-year little, like, fascinating little subsection of the history of Cats. And then you being one of the ones, like, it's so cool to hear that it almost evolved throughout those 3 years as they tried to see, like, hey, could this be the long-term future? And how do we keep tweaking with it and every production until they finally said, no, we're just going to go back to the original, or closer to the original.
Yeah.
Which I assume as a performer has to be really fun. Like, you get to, like you said, you put your stamp on it.
I mean, like, it was really, really fun to see it sort of progress. And I will say, I think the downfall of the actual, because, like, you know, when I was cast in the show, I had a very different skill set to the other tuggers who obviously played it in London, mostly because, like, I'm first and foremost also a singer. So, you know, the ability that I was able to give on Mr. Mistopheles and Old Deuteronomy was much more like the old tugger. Mm-hmm. So I got to blend sort of both a little bit. Like, once my number had passed, because obviously that was really the one that had the most rap in it, once we got past that vocally, you know, I kind of, like, was much more like the old tugger, but more in R&B style rather than rock. Like, my Mr. Mistopheles was, you know, very, you know, I had licks and stuff in there. I was able to kind of show off my, like, sort of tenor notes, which is not really something that the other street tuggers kind of incorporated, because my music team were like, well, it would be stupid to not have that in there because that's you.
Yep. And you probably could do the ball different. Like, you could do more of the contemporary, like the dance numbers too, having had more than just a hip hop background. You could do some of the other traditional stuff throughout the show.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, like, in the ball, in the Palladium version that I watched, Tugger only danced the Tugger Boys combination, where he comes down the center, which is obviously the same choreography that's in the original.
Yeah.
But I also danced Big Boys as well, which is basically the section that happens just before, which is normally led by Munkerstrap. And that was because I just was a dancer, and they were like, great, let's utilize Dan.
Yeah.
And so it was really fun, because I got to kind of, like, do a little bit more, of the dancing, because that was kind of my ability and skill set. But one thing I was going to say about the actual tugger number, I think that there was elements in there that worked. What I wasn't hugely a fan of, and I think was what let the number down. I don't know if you've heard
it. I have. I've heard the London. Anything. I heard the London version. That's what's on YouTube. I could find the London version on YouTube.
Oh, yes, of course. Basically, like, the thing that I think should have been changed a little bit was the everyone else introducing him before he spoke, I think, is the thing that didn't really gel for me. The first minute and a half of the number was spent of me kind of just, like, weaving around everyone while they were talking about me, which I felt like there was an element there that, like, if he just started the number the way that it is, where he just starts talking, I think we would have been straight away involved in what he had to say, but it took me like a minute and a half before I started going for it. And by that point, I think that everyone else's style of singing in the show, while there's this like this kind of like hip hop beat, while everyone else is like, his disobliging ways are a matter of habit. And like, it just kind of, to me, it didn't gel. So I was like, if you're going to have like an updated person who is doing like contemporary singing and rapping in the show, then let him just take the stage so that the style is rooted in this character rather than everyone else trying to do that over the top.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, doesn't Tugger usually come in? And it's like the whole point of Tugger is you're disrupting. So you kind of come in and just immediately start. So it's a little, that was, it might have brought it a little bit more towards what people are used to of like, hey, he's coming in to disrupt. Yeah. I thought, like, I actually didn't notice that when I was watching it. As, you know, for me, I'm like, oh, there's this like hip-hop beat that's kind of interesting. And then I enjoyed the breakdown. Like, I thought that was kind of fun of like this, all of a sudden in the middle of nowhere, this like hip hop dance, breakdown dance. Yeah. Cause again, like it's just, it's so interesting looking at it now, like today, knowing that it's like, this is going to be done. It's so different. But there were elements that I'm like, oh, I did not like that. And there are elements I'm like, oh, that's kind of fun. Like that's different. But I would assume there's a good chunk of people that come to the show who had never seen it. And so it's like, they don't know any different. And they're going to think, oh, that's like a really cool version of it.
Yeah. I had a lot of young kids and a lot of, you know, teenagers and stuff be like, you are my favorite cat in the show. And you know what? I was like, yeah, well, that is, I guess, what they were going for.
Yeah.
They really wanted a way to bring in the children of the generation and to be like, oh, you know, here is someone who's an outcast and he's different, which is exactly what the original created as well. But they did it in a way that he felt younger, more playful, and was a little bit cooler to children and young teenagers in his appeal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. You know, that is, it's so true. Because it's like, when I saw Tugger, it's like, oh, here's the like, the rebel and like the rock star and the like, I'm gonna do whatever I want. And it's like, it's supposed to be the moment for you know, if you're this is the guy who's gonna come on and be attracted to everyone. Everyone's gonna either want him or want to be him. Like that's kind of the moment that you project for Tugger. And then you've kind of got the reverse happening later where you've got McCavity and you've got Bomb and Demeter doing their kind of like very aggressively sexual dance too. So you've got those moments of like, okay, there, you either want them or you want to be them, moments in there. And so this is the same thing. You just have modernized it to be more in the time, which was, there was a lot of hip hop influence at that time. And so it is such a, you know, again, a unique thing to look back on where, you know, what are we years later, we're looking at this from when, like 8 years later, of, hey, this is, it's a different version. And so fun. I want to pivot to some rapid fire because I want to get to my favorite question to ask everybody, especially, you know, you did it for a year. So I'm not sure if you've spent time thinking about this at length, like I have, which is my Grizabella question. But before we get there, if you could go on for one performance as any cat, forget whether you're male, female, capable of doing it or not. If you could just do one track one day, who would you want to go on it?
I mean, like, I would want to sing McCavity, obviously.
Okay. So you're going as Bobby Demeter. One
so
of the two,
like, then. Yeah, Bobby or Demeter, definitely.
Love it. Who are your favorite and least favorite cats from the show? Not actors, characters.
That's funny. Characters. I really loved Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer. I think that their characters are so fun. My least favorite, gosh, you're really testing my brain now. I haven't thought about these characters in a long time. My least favorite, I'm going to say Gus, but it's so controversial.
Oh, wow. That is, yeah, that's not going to, that doesn't bode well for my last question either, because that's the most common answer outside of Grizabella.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. Gus is the most common joke choice besides Grizabella. Why not Gus?
Sure.
Is it just, yeah, I guess that's a very Tugger answer of you. It's like, get this old guy out of here.
It actually is. That's so funny because I feel like my attitude towards that character in the show was very much like, meh.
Yeah. It's, I will say, as I ask these questions to performers, I can't tell you how many times I get the answer. And it's like, that is how your cat would answer. And it's because you spend so long like embodying that persona that it's whether yeah. you know it or not, it's very subconsciously in there. I'm like, oh, I like every jelly is like, it's my favorite's Gus. I'm like, yeah, of course your favorite's Gus. You're supposed to like love Gus. That's your whole job.
Of course it is.
And so you run into this all the time. And so I love it. That's like, it's controversial, but it's like, no, that's a very Tugger answer.
Yeah, I think, I mean, like, for me, it was very much the down slope of the show, like, in terms of, like, interest for me.
Okay.
I was like, okay.
Wow. Hot take. That's going to get some people. Some people are going to have opinions on that.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I really liked... So in our version, we did an updated version of Growl Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's
it's not in 2016.
Actually.
So it's not. They cut Growl Tiger in 2016 for. I think there's a couple
of
reasons.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, I mean it's a little also problematic. There's some there's some moments that are problematic. It also takes an someone who can do an operatic note, and so like. They made the dance a little bit more heavy, and so they've gotten rid of it. But I think it was more of it was canceled than it was anything else. But yeah. They got rid of it from 2016 on.
Yeah, the actual I really liked what they did musically with the updated Growl Tiger. I liked that it had like a swing kind of like that was kind of in that whole sequence, what they did musically in style. I was like, oh, this is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those things that I know so little about because my only version of it is the 1998 movie. Like, I don't have reference because everything else for me is 2016 forward. And so I don't have nearly
that. Have you heard that version?
No, I don't think I've heard your version. I wonder if I can find it on YouTube. Like, I've seen some bootlegs of a lot of stuff.
I remember this being, so we actually opened in New Zealand first, and then basically what happened was after our New Zealand season, when we returned back to Australia, they actually added in a different aria.
Hmm.
So our Gus and, well, Growl Tiger and Jelly learnt a new Italian aria that Andrew Lloyd Webber had written, which literally like slotted into the middle of Growl Tiger before the end section where the Siamese cats obviously come in.
Yeah. Is, hearing that now, is this like Andrew Lloyd Webber's midlife crisis where he's just like, I'm going to change, rewrite some stuff.
I mean, like, I'll never talk bad, but
in a way he's like, I got to make some changes. Like, he rewrote that, he wrote a different
Tiger. There was a lot going on.
Wow. I did not know that either. That's kind of fascinating. Okay, what's your favorite song from the show?
Ooh, favorite song, probably McCavity.
That's my favorite, so I think it's such a great answer.
Yeah.
Who do you think, cat-wise, I'm going to take Tugger out of the equation, would be the best rapper or hip-hop, like, could become hip-hop famous. So it's going to take Tugger out. So who else do you think could come in and have a hip-hop career?
Oh, probably Mungo Jerry.
Oh, that's a really good answer. You know what I was thinking about, and I know this is not going to be the take most people are going to expect. I could see Buster Jones being like Biggie. Like a Biggie Smalls type of like, he takes on that big kind of, he's got a lot of money. He throws stuff around.
Yeah.
Like, I think he could play that hip hop version of where it's not necessarily a style, but I could see it.
It could be quite interesting.
That's the hip hop version.
I'd also like to see like a female rapper too. That would kind of be fun. Like a Nicki Minaj kind of vibe.
I think Bomb could do
Demeter.
It. Bomb or Demeter. Yeah, I think that they
Demeter
have the confidence
Bomby, yeah.
to do it. Like, Bomb has the confidence to do it. She could go out there and like own the stage, which I feel is what you kind of have to do as a hip-hop artist.
Yes.
Okay, my most important question, and now that I know you dislike Gus, I think this is probably not going to go in my way. I've argued at length that I don't think Grizabella should be the right Jelical choice. And so I'm curious, do you want to defend Grizabella, or who would you send to the Heaviside Layer if you are choosing as you, not as Street Tugger, as you.
As me. You know, oh, as me. Yeah, I was going to say as Street Tugger.
are you picking yourself as Street Tugger?
No. Oh, okay. No, I actually think that Grisabella is the Jellicle choice.
Okay. Give me your defense for it. Maybe give me your defense as Street Tugger.
Okay, well, I actually developed quite a soft spot for Grisabella, because as Street Tugger, being an outsider and someone that the group kind of also shunned a little bit for being different, I sort of like, you know, his sort of like thoughts towards her also change over the show. And by like the last quarter, I think he understands her and the journey that she's been on. So that's the reason why I think he believes, after understanding all of the story, that she deserves to go.
Hmm. Okay, so fellow outsider, it's her time.
Yeah.
What about you as Dan?
If it's not going to be her, then I don't really know who it would be. I don't think anyone else deserved it in that moment.
Okay, I love it. This is the anti-Gus coming out. Everyone else is like, yeah, pick the old guy Gus. And you're like, no, forget him. I love it. Well, this has been so fun. I appreciate you coming on and reminiscing on this and sharing all the knowledge. Like, I've been waiting for years to try to understand the Street Tugger. And so I really appreciate you coming on and
sharing and
reminiscing.
It's been really fun to recap it all, because it was a really special time in my life. And I had a ball, like I had a Jellicle ball.
Yeah.
I had, you know, the best time, you know, doing this show, and, you know, it really was such a milestone for me, doing something that was very different. I got to be creative and playing my first role and, you know, in a show that is obviously so iconic.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was really special.
It's so cool to hear that, because that's the performer answer versus the fan answer. You know, it's like you get to do this really cool thing, and it's the moment in time, and it's your first full role, and you get to be creative and like tackle something new. And the fans are like, 8 years later, I hated that. You know, like this isn't the Tugger I know. And so it's just like, you know, you've got these two different ways of looking at it.
Absolutely. I mean, I have on my YouTube channel, I've got, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's like I've like compiled basically all of the footage that I could ever have found of me doing my makeup, you know, like press stuff. I've got like a morning show thing where I did the dance break on the morning show from the number. And like that video has so many views because, you know, most of the time people are just slamming me.
Yeah.
They're like, not the actor, but the actual character.
Yeah, yeah. And they do. It's hard. You have to split it, because it's like, there's this like, you are going on to do this cool new thing, and everyone's like, but wait, why was this decision even made?
Why? And I think the why is the thing that constantly comes up in all of the comments and when, you know, people talk about it, because they're like, oh, he did a great job, or like, you know, I really love his energy and what he's doing with the role, but why?
Yep. That's how I felt watching it when I watched the bootleg YouTube I could find. I was like, oh, I kind of like the new hip hop beat, and it's a different version, and the dance break is really cool. But I'm just like, but still, do we need to make that change? Like, it's this iconic rock star cat that we're so used to. And but it's also, again, change is change, and you know, it always takes time for people to adapt to it, even if it's universally loved or hated.
Yeah.
It's change, and that's always going to get dissenters.
Absolutely.
How can people stay in touch with you on social media and keep up with everything you're doing?
Well, I am on Instagram at Diacetta, and also on TikTok. They're probably the two main sort of profiles to follow and continue watching my journey, which is now in New York City.
Yeah, I will plus the TikTok. I think it's hilarious. You constantly are posting videos of you and your sister as like children doing these like different dance numbers. It's been really funny to see the like that, and then the Hamilton, and then I think your sister was in Six, and you got all these like different like things coming together.
Yeah.
It's been really fun to kind of follow on social media. It's a great follow for anybody that is especially a fan of yours.
Oh, thank you.
Well, this has been an absolute blast. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I've loved chatting.
And thanks everyone else to listening to this episode of The Wrong Cut Die, the podcast breakdown of the catastrophe. To follow along, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at The Wrong Cut Die, or check out our website, thewrongcutdie.com.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.